Hey church, Pastor Adam here. I wanted to say thank you for stopping by for Church Online today. And while we're super excited that you're hanging out with us for this message, we also want to remind you this is just supplemental and it should not and cannot replace the local church in your life. So while we hope today's message shapes and encourages and challenges you exactly where you're at, we also know that we can't be the substitute for the local body. In fact, we believe the church is God's plan A for reaching the world. So if you're in Paducah one Sunday morning, come join us in person for rest. But if not, go and find a local Bible-believing, Jesus-preaching church near you and get plugged in. Jesus loves the church, and we love Jesus, and we believe we can better serve Jesus if we're locally connected, serving her well. So welcome to rest.
Well, hello there. My name's CJ. I'm one of the pastors here. Really appreciate y'all being here a Saturday night for our Blue Christmas sermon and worship. Really appreciate it. Thank you, Carl, and everyone else who read, given an overview of what Blue Christmas is. Again, a quick recap. Traditionally, Blue Christmas goes over topics of loss, sadness, and darkness. Before I start preaching, let's pray again. Dear Father, we love you. Thank you for letting us be here. Thank you for letting us dig into your word. Thank you for letting us worship you. Get me out of the way. Move my nerves. Move my words. Move me. Let me decrease and you increase. And may you get any glory that's here tonight. We love you. And in Christ Jesus' name, amen. All right. So the past few sermons here at Rest Church, they've been really good. They've been... We've talked about the smell, the sound, and the gifts of Christmas. If y'all hadn't listened to them, if you weren't able to be here, go check them out on our YouTube channel. Like, they're actually pretty good sermons. You should get back and check those. And they were going over topics of things that we expect about Christmas, some of the excitement, some of the nostalgia, some of the giddiness of Christmas. But what if Christmas doesn't have that for you? What if Christmas doesn't bring those feelings? What if those expectations aren't fulfilled? Or worse yet, instead of not having those feelings or expectations, you get the opposite. What if Christmas is depressing, anxiety-inducing, or just get angry this time of year? You know, maybe you hear the carol for the 10th time and it doesn't mean anything to you anymore. Maybe the smell of cinnamon reminds you Papa's not going to be at the table this year. Maybe the bright lights feel like a poor distraction for the chaos you feel on the inside. Maybe the wrapped gift is just reminds you of all of life's disappointments. You open it up and it's not what you want. If that's you, then maybe you'd like to hear about a well, or specifically this thing called a well fall. This is a Blue Christmas sermon, so we're going to talk about a blue well. So blue wells, they're really majestic creatures. Most of us know what they are. It's not just the largest mammal. It's the largest animal on the planet. They can grow to be 110 feet long, weigh 330,000 pounds, and can live to be 110 years old. And, I mean, it's the ultimate creature that just get to be a fat blob floating in the ocean eating shrimp all day. That sounds really nice. But, you know, what happens when these creatures die? I mean, it's pretty majestic, but what happens once it dies? Well, that's what science calls a well fall. So once it dies, it's going to bloat up like most dead things do and float at the top of the ocean. From there, you're going to start to have sharks and marine birds start to eat away at the flesh, and as marine creatures do. And then one of two things is going to happen. It's either going to float to the shore and decay like every other thing decays on the shore, or a thing called well fall happens where it's going to sink down to the bottom of the ocean. This happens in stages, okay? So stage number one of a well fall, you're going to have sharks, octopus, hagfish. They're going to just start eating all the soft tissue off of it. I picked some really nice pictures up here. But they get all the soft tissue off. This, remember, these whales are huge, largest animal on the planet. This stage, creatures can feed off this from months to a year and a half. After most soft tissue's taken off, stage two happens. That's where marine worms and other creatures of the like are going to start to get in and start to eat the nutrients inside of the bones. This can last anywhere from months to 4.5 years. Then we hit the third stage. That's where microscopic bacteria will further get into the bones and eat what the worms couldn't eat, eat all these little fat cells, release new microscopic nutrients in the ocean, and this lets snails, limpets, clams, mollusks, they will eat off that stuff for 50 to 100 years. And some scientists think that there's a fourth stage called the reef stage, where filter feeders like coral will use the bones as a foundation to build a coral colony. And a coral colony, some scientists think that they can last anywhere from 5,000 to 10,000 years. So at this point, you all are probably thinking, what the heck does a dead whale have to do with Christmas? Well, nothing really. But nothing in reality, but actually I think it does have a bit more to do with Christmas. So it's this idea, one death leads to life. While no metaphor is perfect, I like this one. We often think Christmas is just celebrating Jesus' birthday. And it is celebrating Jesus' birthday, but it's much more than that. Christmas is looking at Christ's coming, his death, his resurrection, and his eventual coming again. One death leads to life. In our whale example, we have this majestic creature swimming around the ocean doing whatever whales do. Again, they can live up to 110 years. That's a lot of life right there. Yet, like all creatures, it will eventually die. But when it does, so much life happens because of and in spite of its death. In a non-literal sense, that whale is more alive dead than when it was actually alive. One death brings life. All this is to say Jesus died to give us new life. Jesus, the very Son of God, died for us. We are as bacteria to his immense and great glory, yet he willingly laid down his life for us. Jesus says, this is wrote in John 10, verses 17 and 18, he says, "For this reason, the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down on my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This charge I have received from my Father." Jesus says this, that we can have new life in him. So again, one death leads to life. All right, but you might say, "Oh, that's fine and dandy, but I still have a hard time with Christmas." I'm going to give another verse of encouragement right here. Romans 5, verses 3 through 5. The Apostle Paul says, "Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance. Endurance produces character. Character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us." So I get it. Life is really hard, and bad things actually do happen. If I'm to be honest, I really don't like this time of year. Christmas time, Thanksgiving, New Year's just isn't really my thing. Bad stuff has happened to me. November and December of the years 2021, 2022, and 2023 resulted in cancer for my daughter, my wife, and me in that order. There's a picture up here. Yeah, that is Hallie when she was really sick. She ended up, which a lot of you know this, but she spent a week stint in the ICU where we almost lost her. And we're sitting, me and my wife, who's dealing with an eye infection that can't see at this time, are praying over her, not knowing if we're going to have her the next day. Hallie ends up going through multiple rounds of chemotherapy, radiation, surgery, and she suffered. A year after my daughter deals with this, my wife gets cancer, and she has a surgery, and she's still dealing with my daughter, who's dealing with cancer. My wife suffers. A year after that, I get cancer. I get 6 inches of my colon cut out, I get chemotherapy, and I suffer. So this time of year, for me, is kind of painted as it's gross. You know, to be honest, the bright lights, the obnoxious music on the radio, it feels cheap and artificial and out of touch with what life really is. And, you know, might think I'm a Grinch or Bah Humbug at this point. But that's not what Christmas truly is. It's not the lights. It's not the music. What Christmas is it's pointing to Christ being our ultimate wealth, our ultimate sacrifice. So, and life can have many great things in it. We know that, but if you talk to anyone, they're going to tell you that life is hard and bad things happen. We all deal with little deaths in our life before we eventually hit that big death. We deal with the death of, we can deal with the death of a job, death of a friendship. We can deal with the death of hopes and dreams, the death of expectations, the death of self-perception, the death of health, the death of motivation, the death of family, and again, that eventual final death of body that we'll all experience. But these deaths are opportunities for God to bring new life in our lives. We may sink lifeless to the bottom of the dark ocean, but the light of hope, Jesus's hope, shines even in our darkest depths. John 8:12 says, again, Jesus spoke with them saying, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. So if you're a Christian, that means, Christian literally means little Christ. That means you get to look like and imitate Christ who lived and died for us. These deaths in our lives bring new life. Remember, kind of like the stages of a well fall, you know, suffering produces endurance. Endurance produces character. Character produces hope. That hope does not put us to shame. Remember, one death leads to life. So the Apostle John brings together this concept of Jesus being both life and light together really well in John chapter 1, verses 4 and 5. We'll read that. In him was life. The life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Oh, real quick side note, what's great about the Gospel of John is it's really approachable. One of the commentaries that I was reading, looking forward to all this, had a pretty good quote. This pastor, David Guzik, says, the Gospel of John is a beloved gospel because of its paradoxical combination of both simplicity and depth. John has been called a pool in which a child may wade and an elephant may swim. So if you want to know more about this Jesus who brings life and light and you don't know where to start, a great place to start is John's gospel. Easy to pick up, really hard to put down. So back to this verse, this life that John's talking about when he describes the Lord Jesus, he's not talking about just biological life, i.e. bacteria, trees, whales, and the heart pumping in your chest right now. What he's talking about, he uses this Greek word zoe. If he's just talking about regular life processes, it'd be bios, but he uses the word zoe. Zoe means absolute fullness of life. It's the deep, meaningful life that God has and is and gives to us. In short, this life right here is the difference between merely existing and truly living. So to kind of drive this point home, there's this lady, Johnny Erickson Tada. She was a painter, experienced a serious accident as a young lady. It left her a quadriplegic, has suffers with pain. She took painting back up, picks the brush up with her mouth and paints these pictures. But she has a really good perspective of what this looks like. So I'm going to play a video and let her talk.
One of my favorite verses is Romans 15, verse 13. I mean, just listen to this. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Oh, to live a life overflowing with hope, right? Because you know as well as I do that there are times when life seems to plunge us into one long dark night, a deep grief that keeps lingering, a botched surgery that turns chronic, or a heart-stabbing rejection you cannot shake. Yet as certain as the dawn comes after a long night, hope is just as certain. As the morning chases away the night, hope chases away despair. It's why I love that hope-filled promise of Psalm 30, verse 5. Weeping may endure for a night, but rejoicing comes in the morning. And I wish I could explain how dark my life used to feel when I was first injured, sitting by our farmhouse window, longing to be able to ride horses again, watching my sisters race out the back door and not being able to follow them, being a bridesmaid in other people's weddings, not to mention infections, pressure sores, all of it keeping me bedridden. I put on a smile for my friends and family, but inside my heart was dark. One day, as I was aimlessly flipping through my Bible, using my mouth stick, I stumbled across Isaiah chapter 50, verse 10. Let he who walks in darkness and has not a single ray of light, let him trust in the name of the Lord and rely on his God. Man, that described me exactly. It described exactly how I felt, groping in the dark and unable to find the light. Yet Isaiah 50, verse 10 also gave me direction. Start trusting God, Johnny. Not just talking about trusting him, but actually doing it. And as I reached out in the dark for God's hand, that's when I began to sense this faint stirring of hope, like a magnet. This little hint of hope kept pulling me closer to the Lord. And soon, I found myself waking up from that long, dreary night of spiritual darkness. Those first stirrings of hope became a trail that actually led me to Romans 15, 13. There, the God of all hope guarantees me all joy and peace, not just some, but all joy and peace, if I would but trust in him. Trust and obey, that old hymn says, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus. And here's the thing, I still did not have answers, you know, about why God allowed this to happen, but hope was beginning to rise in my heart. We don't think much about hope, do we, until we're in trouble. Yet it is the one virtue people cannot live without. The hope which the Bible speaks of is not wishful thinking. It is based on the true and eternal promises of God. Every morning, God stands ready to pour out his mercy, his grace, and that's a promise. Every morning, God is ready to lead you into a day filled with purpose. That's a promise. Every morning, God is ready to show you more of his Son, Jesus Christ. And that is a promise. Every morning, he brings you one day closer to heaven, where what we hope for will become reality. A life with no more night, no more tears, no more sorrow or pain. Huh. With promises like these, how could we not have hope?
My wife shared that with me recently, and I was encouraged. And I was like, you know, that really goes with how God brings light in our very darkest moments. So Christmas, Advent, it's about Christ's first coming. But remember, he's coming again. I don't know if, and if so, what stage of wellfall you might possibly be in tonight. But know this, Jesus Christ died for you. We often celebrate Christmas with scenes of the Nativity and think the primary reason for the holiday being Jesus' birth, and why that's a big part of it, it's so much more than that. The gifts point to the gift that Jesus gave us on the cross. The songs of hope, joy, and peace is relevant even 2,000 years after his birth, and further point to Jesus' second coming, where he will right all wrongs and we will live with him. We'll have that Zoe with him eternally. So whether you're in grief or joy this Christmas season, know this, Christ Jesus died for you. Let's pray. Dear Father in heaven, we love you. Give us this comfort, give us this hope, give us this peace that you promise us. As we go about, thank you for being bigger than anything that comes before us. Thank you. You are a good and great Father. Help us to not just know this, but let it shine from us. Let it be something that we talk about, something that we exhibit in our lives, that we are changed people, that we have had transformation, and where your death has brought new life in us. We thank you and we love you. And in Jesus' name we pray, amen.